Our lesson this morning has just kind of a way my line of thought. A few weeks ago, we talked about Jesus and his arrest of it. And when the mob came to him, he said, have you come out here as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? And he said that day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. In other words, the things that Jesus did, he didn't do in secret. They knew where to find him. He was there on a daily basis. He could have been reached any time. And so the idea came to me, it's really been no secret what God has done and what God can do. And you might recognize this verse, this song came to me. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And that's one of, I usually run out of time and I don't get to the end. So this is the end. I wanted to get it to you first. It is no secret. And secondly, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You know, it is no secret. God has always been open and honest with mankind about the things he did. At least about creation. In the beginning, do you kids know that verse? What did God do in the beginning? He created the heavens and the earth. That's no secret even to these children. In the day, and he told us exactly how he did it. In day one, created time and space and matter and gravity and the rotation of the earth and the orbit of the earth and light. And on day two, the firmament, which is this canopy which surrounded the earth and turned the earth into a virtual paradise of climate and health and comfort. Day three, the dry land, the seas, the vegetation, the plants and the trees. Day four, the sun, moon, and stars. Day five, the living creatures of the sea and of the air, the fish and fowl. Day six, the living creatures of the land, the beasts of the field, livestock, domesticated animals, and man, the first man, Adam. And the garden, paradise of Eden. And then from man, he created woman. And of course, on the seventh day, he rested. And this was repeated. It was repeated in the time of the patriarchs, which we just read, and under the Mosaic law. This is what Moses writes. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And he rested on the seventh day. And so in the new covenant, the one which Jesus began, it is also repeated. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So it is no secret about how things began. It's no secret about what God said about the consequences of disobedience. In the garden, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And so that was the consequences. Before man had sin, he told them about sin and the consequences. In the Mosaic era, the prophet Ezekiel wrote this, and this is repeated in many ways, but this one's pretty clear. Behold, all souls are mine. This is God speaking. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. And in the New Covenant, it is also repeated. This is a very good one. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might when He comes on that day to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed because our testimony to you was believed. So the consequences of sin, they've been no secret. God has had those from the beginning. It is also no secret that God would send a Savior, Jesus, who would save us from our sins. And it's no secret that God began telling us about this Savior immediately. In Genesis 3:15, this is what the Lord said to Satan after Eve and then Adam disobeyed God by eating of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And these words in parentheses are there at my thing for clarification so we get the flavor. This is God. I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, Eve, and between your offspring, that would be Satan's offspring, and her, Eve's offspring. He, and this is prophetically speaking of Jesus, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And this prophecy, although maybe a little vague to some, really focuses on two basic facts of the gospel. The virgin birth of Jesus and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. In Galatians 4:4, it tells us that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. In Isaiah 7:14, this was foretold. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. And we can read in the Gospel accounts, Matthew and Luke especially, where the Virgin Mary, betrothed to be married, but had not yet been with her husband as man and wife, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And so uniquely, that goes back to the garden and clarifies things up a little bit, why He didn't address Adam and Eve and saying, your seed, but the seed of a woman in this unique way. And what did they call Him? Emmanuel, God with us. Behold, and Matthew says this was done to fulfill the prophecy. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And He explains this. For that which is conceived in her is not from her husband, not from any man, but from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus. You know what Jesus means? Same as the Hebrew Joshua. It means Savior. For He will save His people from their sins. And also, that prophecy focuses on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It was foretold that Satan and his offspring in this spiritual warfare would gain a minor victory. That's what a bruise to the heel is. It's inconvenient, it slows you down, but it's not fatal. Satan shall gain a minor victory by crucifying, burying, and the burial of Jesus, temporarily putting him out of the way. But as we just read moments ago, Jesus rose from the dead on the third day and gained a complete victory over sin and death. And that was the bruise to the head. That's a fatal bruise, a final victory over sin and death. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And Matthew 25:41, this was Jesus talking in a parable. He will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This is the victory. This is the is what is awaiting Satan and his angels. 1 Corinthians 15:1, the gospel I preached to you, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. It was no secret from almost the beginning of time that this Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, who would save us from our sins, would die. And He would be buried, and He would be raised on the third day, according to Scriptures. It is no secret where this Savior would come from, what His family lineage would be. He would be descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Genesis 12:3, in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And that was repeated to his son, Isaac. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And then again to Jacob, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this was put out there. And you think how remarkable that is? You know how many billions of people have lived and are living now? And who knows how many will continue to be. But yet, God told us. This was said 2,000 years ago of the family tree of our Lord. It was also told us later on that Jesus would be descended from Judah, the son of Jacob. And the scepter shall not depart from Judah. That's the sign of authority. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. Shiloh means peace. And the meaning here is that the Prince of Peace, to him shall be the obedience of the people. In other words, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that is his right, to have your obedience and your loyalty. So it would come from Judah. And Jesus would also be descended from Jesse, who was, you know, in the lineage of Judah. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It's no secret that Jesus would be descended from David. 2 Samuel 7:12. When your days are fulfilled, the Lord speaking to David, through Samuel, and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name. And this is kind of a dual prophecy, because Solomon, his son, built the temple in Jerusalem, which was the Lord's house. But the descendant he was talking about building a house here was Jesus. And what do we call that house? The church. Upon this rock I will build my church. And he will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. What was the last king of Judah? You remember? It was a long, long time ago. Who reigns on David's throne today? Pardon? Jesus. And where is that throne? In Zion? In Judas? In Jerusalem? It's in heaven. That's where He is ruling from. I will be His Father, and He shall be my Son. The voice from heaven on the day He was baptized in the Mount of Transfiguration. Behold, this is my only begotten Son, in whom I am well pleased. And your house and your kingdom shall be established before you, forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. And so it is through Jesus, the son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the son of Judah, the son of Jesse, and David, the son of God. And we can read about these genealogies in Matthew 1 and in Luke 3, the family tree of Jesus. Jesus came from the exact family that God said He would. And we can go on. It is no secret that the Christ, the Son of God, would come from Bethlehem. Micah prophesied that in the 5th chapter and 2nd verse, 400 plus years before it came. It was no secret that the coming of Christ would be accompanied by a star rising out of Jacob. What drew the men from the east? The star they saw rising. We have seen His star. Where is He that is born? King of the Jews? It is no secret that the coming of the Christ would be accompanied by the death of children. This was in Jeremiah. What happened in Bethlehem that was so tragic and brought so many tears and sorrow? Herod killed the young children, 2 years and younger, just so he could get the Christ. It was no secret that Christ, the Son of God, would spend time in Egypt. Hosea wrote that 500 or 600 years before Christ was born. It was no secret that the Son of God would begin His ministry in Galilee. It was no secret that the Christ, the Son of God, would begin His ministry during the Roman age. And when we look at the 9th chapter second chapter of Daniel, we read where Nebuchadnezzar had this vision and Daniel interpreted it. This statue with the head, the shoulders, the thighs, and the legs. Well, he said in the times of the fourth kingdom, Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans, in the time of that fourth kingdom, the Romans, the Messiah would come. It is no secret that the Christ, the Son of God, would begin His ministry about the year 29, and it would be confirmed for a week, but in the middle of it, He would be cut off. This is in Daniel, the 9th chapter, the 70 weeks. And that's a study, a marvelous study in and of itself. Jesus began His ministry at about what age? About 30. And His ministry lasted three and a half years. What happened that cut Him off in the middle of that week of years? He was nailed to the cross. He was crucified. And for about another 3 years, it took for the word to get confirmed to the Gentiles. So that's the week. It was no secret that the Christ, the Son of God, would teach in miracles, in parables. And we read that this morning in our reading. Parables are something that are easy to be understood. And most people understand them because they're taken from lessons from every day. And we've read some today as well. Some 52 parables of Jesus are recorded in the Gospels. It is no secret that the Son of God would ride into Zion, which is a portion of the city of Jerusalem, on a donkey. Zechariah said that some 500 or 600 years before it happened. It was no secret that the Son of God would be crucified, as we read in Psalms 22 and other places in the Old Testament. That He would cry out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? That He would be pierced through His hands and His feet. That they would cast lots for His garments. Pretty specific, isn't it? Pretty specific. And that the Christ, the Son of God, would have generations of unborn praise Him. And here we are, 2,000 years after the death of our Lord, and we're praising Him, worshiping Him, and remembering Him to this day. And we could go on. We could spend, I think, 300 minutes or so, because there's 300 and some prophecies concerning the Messiah, many of which were beyond His control to manipulate, like where His dad would take Him to escape from Herod, what city He would be born in, and all these things, all these things. Hundreds of prophecies about the Christ, beginning in 4000 B.C. through about 400 B.C., Christ fulfilled them all. It is no secret what God has done. It is no secret. God told us what He would do, and He did exactly like He said He would do. And that's a sign of a true prophet, isn't it? In Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter there, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like Me from among you, from among your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. And they said, well, how may we know the difference between a false prophet and a true prophet? That was the question. How we know the word the Lord has not spoken? Well, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if that word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. And the prophet has spoken presumptuously. So that's the negative way of saying that when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord and the word does come to pass or does come true, that is a word that the Lord has spoken. And it is true. In Isaiah 42 verse 9, Isaiah said, Behold, the former things have come to pass. In other words, all the things that the Lord has prophesied about His people, about other nations, about other countries, about events that have come, all these things He's talked about, they've come true. So, new things I'm declaring to you. New things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell them to you. And that's an interesting phrase, before they spring forth. That's the Hebrew word. I have no way of knowing how to pronounce that, but it's there. And it refers to the springing up of plants and how they send out their roots and the buds and all that. The phrase literally means here, before they begin to germinate. That is, before there are any indications of life or growth. I'm reminded, as we moved into the home we're living in now, there were a couple areas where there was large plantings, but hadn't been kept for about 5 years. And it was a mess. But in the spring, we started noticing patches of yellow and white and red and blue and white and pink. These flowers grew up from there. And this is how God, it was like when God talked about things, prophecies. God predicted future events before there was any indication that those events would or could possibly occur. God prophesied accurately about events, about cities, about countries, about people, about world history, and about His Messiah. And they all sprang forth in this beautiful array for all the world to see. And this is kind of like what, when Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus, he said, hey, we found this Jesus of Nazareth This is the one Moses was talking about. What did Nathanael say? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But yet the Son of God came from that barren, forsaken place that had no indication that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would rise up from that place. And yet they did. Why did God do all this? So that we would know that this surely came from God. And that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing might have life in His name. It is no secret about God's love for the world. Can you say that with me? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. And you know, we're not talking like some religious beliefs do about rocks and trees and mountains. We're talking about God's love for people. His love for people. The wonderful world of people. All of mankind. All of them, everyone, even you. And the saying that the angel said, they call His name Jesus, for He shall save whose people? His people. He counted the world as His people. His children. That's His love for us. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree to save a wretch like me. Someday, He's coming back. What glory that will be. Wonderful His love for me. You know, we talked about secrets. This is what John said when they came to arrest Him in the garden. I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews have come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? This was saying, He said, ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said. And He said to His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Remember what was said in response to that? How do we know the way? How do we know the way? But yet Jesus said, you know the way. And you know, it came clear to them on the day of Pentecost, the way. Hearing the gospel. Believing the gospel. Repenting of sin. Confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. Immersion for the remission of sin. And rising up from that watery grave to walk in newness of life and to remain faithful to Christ to the end. It's a very simple way. It is no secret how you can obtain eternal life. It's simple. It's something you can do. And this morning, if you have not accepted the gospel, God's wrath is waiting for you. It's waiting for those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of Christ. You can change that today. You can change your future today. You've become a child of His and an heir of heaven and have your sins forgiven. We say, come. We say, come. The Lord says, come. Come to the front, and we'll help you accept the gospel as we stand and sing our closing song.